Today is the 30th anniversary of one of the most, if not the most eventful sports day ever. No exaggeration. June 17th, 1994. There was an ESPN 30 for 30 made about it. There is a Pittsburgh connection to the whole thing. That is the day and night that is, of course, best known for the O.J. Simpson white Ford Bronco chase that was so massive, so huge, that they cut into the NBA Finals Game 6 of the Rockets and Knicks to air the coverage of the chase. They didn't know how it was going to end. I think there were some questions of whether or not O.J. Simpson was going to commit suicide or do something stupid. I think at one point there was even a story out there that O.J., having worked at NBC, called NBC and wanted to get on the air from his car phone with Bob Costas, but the producer didn't believe that it was him. Did you know that, Sean?
I watched the documentary. I don't remember that part of it. Was that
Costas said that years later?
That's interesting.
Yeah. That he wanted to go on, but they're like, there's no way this. They thought it was like one, probably like a Howard Stern bit.
Now, if he had called here, I would have put him through to you. I would not have made that mistake.
Joel Nelson would have put him through in a second.
Oh, he puts anyone
through. He puts Starkey through with pomp every Saturday as fake callers. I remember I was in third grade. I had just finished third grade, and I was in my grandmother's living room. I was staying at her house that night. We were close. We're still extremely close, and she's now 90, and she's a huge basketball fan, but she's really like a news person. She had NBC loyalty too. She was one of those like Tom Brokaw nightly news fans. And so when they broke in with that, just completely spellbound, even I think at that young age, I recognized and realized that something insane was happening. And then the entire OJ trial after that, my grandmother had court TV on every single day.
She's the gambler?
Yes.
So she wasn't mad because she had money on the Knicks or something and they cut out of that?
She doesn't bet sports. She's only a casino game person.
Gotcha.
I talked to her this morning, and she was complaining about how it was going to be in the 90s, and I asked her, what are you going to do? And she said, I'm going to go to a place where it's very well air-conditioned and it's kept cool. And I was like, oh, you're going to... I made up one of her friend's names. And she's like, no, I'm driving, again, 40 minutes to go to the casino as a 90-year-old woman. So that was the apex of that day. Before that, earlier in the day, the U.S. Open was at Oakmont, and that was a Friday, round two. That was Arnold Palmer's last U.S. Open. And so I would have guessed that before O.J. happened, the people like who were running the sports sections at the biggest newspapers in America at the time, when newspapers were still a thing and when SportsCenter was still a thing, were debating, like, what are we going to make the biggest part of our sports cast? You have the NBA Finals Game 6. You have Palmer at U.S. Open. A legend says goodbye. You have the first World Cup in the United States was happening that day. Wasn't there also like a Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. like homered in the same game or something crazy like that?
No, that did happen, but I think it was maybe just kind of the heating up of the home run chase, because ultimately that year was wiped out due to the strike, but I think there was talk maybe Griffey could break Maris's 61.
I thought having watched that documentary that there was something epic with Griffey happened that day. Maybe he hit three home runs? I don't know. Not that that would in any way measure up to the other things we're talking about, but one of the most surreal days. Younger people don't realize this, obviously. When I say younger, I mean people 30 and younger. O.J. Simpson, in addition to being a Heisman Trophy winning running back and retiring, I think, as the second leading rusher in NFL history behind Jim Brown, when he transitioned into sports casting, he was NBC's sideline reporter for their biggest games, like the Super Bowl, for example, his popularity was massive.
Naked Gun.
Naked Gun, right. He was one of America's favorite sports figures. And then that just incredible fall from grace. And do you remember that, Sean? You're around my age.
Yes.
Do you remember the Ford Bronco night?
Yes, I was having a sleepover. I was staying with one of my friends for his birthday. And yeah, that was kind of crazy. And, you know, we were same age as you, not really understanding the gravity of what that would become, which was the biggest story. I mean, how long until the trial? It was like a year and a half that was the biggest story in America.
Oh, yeah. That went on and on and on and on.
By the way, you were partially right about Griffey. He tied Babe Ruth 30 home runs before June 30th. So it was kind of just a home run.
Then he did it on June 17th.
Yeah. He was having an unbelievable year.
Well, Gwynn hit .394 that year.
And that was the Expos year, too, right?
Yep. They were far and away the best team in baseball. The strike killed that team. Literally, they moved to Washington 10 years later. 412-928-9370, if you have anything to add to that. Here is Andrew in South Park. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, fellas. How are you?
Hi, Andrew. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to talk about the Aiyuk trade.
Yes, can you do me a favor first?
Sure.
Can you pull up Dino Tomlin's PFF grade?
No, I can't do that because I'm blue collar. Unfortunately, guys in radio like Chris that make Matchbox 20 money don't want to help out the blue collar guy and give us what we want and what we're demanding. So I was hoping maybe you could lean on him since, you know, you got a little bit of juice at the station, I heard.
We just talked about the juice. O.J. Simpson, do you have any thoughts on him?
Yeah, he didn't get a fair trial. Our Constitution says that you'll be judged by a jury or peers, and there was not one Heisman Trophy winner on that jury. Think about that.
Anything else?
O-H-I-O.
Thank you, Andrew in South Park.
Thought that was Anthony in Oakland for a second with that.
Yeah. Didn't he sell off his Heisman Trophy? I think some random person has OJ's Heisman.
And they could tell everyone they won a Heisman Trophy.
You're at a cocktail party and you stumble upon a Heisman Trophy and it says OJ Simpson on it. What a conversation starter that would be. Here is our number two fan, Jeff in South Park. Hello, Jeff.
I like how Johnny the Barber there decided that he was all of a sudden from South Park.
Have you guys met?
And I have met Johnny the Barber. Yes, he's an interesting dude. I met him at Mike's Beer Bar the day that he brought for you tiny plastic Kenny Pickett hands.
That's right. Do you feel you are on his level of crazy?
No, I do not. Mainly because I'm not an Ohio State fan. These guys are all crazy.
Did your wife flash Jack Sawinski this weekend? He did have a couple of big hits this week, Jeff.
No, I felt like I watched most of the games this weekend by myself. I know she wasn't home yesterday, so no, it did not happen.
Let's hope she was not in a public place doing that.
She
didn't, because she's fine.
She was at a family gathering yesterday, they didn't have the Pirates game on.
But had they, everyone would have been treated to a free show. Anything else, Jeff? What's on your mind?
Well, I was originally, going to call in about Brandon Aiyuk, but you brought up all this O.J. Simpson.
You're too young for that stuff. You're a young man. You don't remember the chase.
Well, no, I do, because I'm like 2 years older than you. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't remember the chase and the day it happened. However, you mentioned how the trial started a year later, and I was in fifth grade at that point. And fifth grade was also the first year that I ever had a male teacher. It had all been female elementary school teachers.
Okay.
And he was a basketball coach. So and he was really into the trial. So we talked about the trial in class seemingly almost daily. And I knew more about that case as a fifth grader than really any fifth grader should. And that kind of had jogged my memory.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think I knew more about current events in fourth grade than I do now.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, other than sports.
Yeah. Anyways, they should try it for Brandon Ayuk. And whenever Chris brings up the fact that they're going to tick off George Pickens, he's stupid. Like, I don't care what George Pickens thinks. Trade for Brandon Ayuk.
But I don't think it's. I don't think it has to be one or the other. I don't think you're making a choice. The Eagles have both of their receivers signed. The 49ers don't want to do it because, or don't want to meet. They'll go to a certain point. It's been reported that they've offered $26 million. But they don't want to give them top of the market because they still have to pay Purdy, and they've paid Bosa, and they brought Hargrave in. Like, they've paid a lot of guys, and eventually they're going to have to pay their quarterback probably $50 million a year. Here is Jim next. Hello, Jim. Jim, you're there?
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey. I didn't want to let the golf discussion get by without mentioning a very, very close friend of mine who should be number four on that list. His name was Jim Masserio, M-A-S-S-E-R-I-O.
Yeah.
And he was the national junior champion in 1965.
Yeah.
He played on the tour from 71 to 79.
Yeah.
He finished second in the TPC to Jack Nicklaus.
Wow.
He played the final round with Nicklaus.
Wow.
He finished second in the LA Open. He finished second in the Kemper Open. And he won every tournament there is to win in Western Pennsylvania. Amateur, pro, whatever.
Is this Jim? Is this Jim that you're talking about? You? Are you? Are you
no.
No. Your name is also
Jim. Jim Masserio.
Okay. I thought you might just be. I thought you just might be tooting your own horn, which I would be fine with because those are some very nice accomplishments.
I played golf with him in college, and he was a college All-American.
You also sound like you are echoing badly. Are you in a bathroom right now, Jim? Is that why I'm hearing this sound?
No. No, okay. I'm fine.
Okay.
And Jim was one of the only players that didn't grow up playing a country club. He grew up playing at South Park.
Well, congratulations on all his humbleness and success afterwards.
Yeah, very humble guy. You would never know what to talk to him. But he was a great player, and I think he should be number four. I always thought he would be number four behind Palmer and Rocco and Jimmy Simons. Jimmy Simons was from Saxonburg, and he played at Knock High School. And Jimmy Simons was the leader in the U.S. Open in 1973.
Yes.
And Jack Nicklaus was behind him, one stroke behind.
Well, then Johnny Miller won the 73 Open.
No, not 73. I'm talking about 75 at Marion.
Oh, okay.
At Marion.
Well, how about this Sean Parks character who's from, where is he, Bellevue, and he won the U.S. Open in the 1930s? Do we not acknowledge what happened 90 years ago, Jim?
No, I think he was an amateur altogether. I don't even know if he was a golf pro.
Oh.
I think he might have been an amateur.
All right, thank you, Jim. That man knows an alarming amount about golf here. He should be on...
Going low. Paul Alexander better watch out.
Jim Nasario, did I get the name right? All right.
Close enough.
Sean has the Donnie Football debrief, and then let's get into Paul Skeens as we get closer to him taking the rubber at PNC Park. First, a headline.
Sean Myers bringing you fan headlines. The Pirates claimed a series victory yesterday courtesy of their 8-2 win in Colorado against the Rockies. Josh Fleming got the start, went 4 scoreless. 6 different Pirates had multi-hit efforts. Pirates at home against the Cincinnati Reds tonight. Just about 2 hours from now, the first pitch. Paul Skeens will be throwing it. Our coverage on 93.7 The Fan begins at 5:45 and is presented by Pella Windows. Fan headlines are powered by Bowser and Genesis of Monroeville. Now open for more. Check out 93.7thefan.com. Pony!
All right, thank you so much, Sean. Let's talk right now about Wiggle Whiskey. I just saw some Wiggle out the other day. I posted a picture of it on my Twitter. I don't have an Instagram. Maybe I should start. And it is the best, simply the best, better than all the rest. I think Tina Turner said that once. Aged for 4 years. I'm telling you, this rye whiskey made right here in Pittsburgh is great to put in a cocktail. More and more people I'm talking to like to put rye into old fashioned. So if you're a cocktail lover, you should try that and give a local bourbon a shot. The ingredients right here in Pittsburgh, aged and distilled for 4 years in Pittsburgh. Try it today, Wiggle Whiskey.
Chris Muller here from my friends at The Bath Authority. They want to help you out. They want to help those of you out there who've got a bathtub or shower that's really old, that's outdated, that's just making the rest of the bathroom a complete eyesore, right? Maybe the mold and mildew have taken over, or you've got cracked tiles. You've really got to call my friends at the Bath Authority. If so, they've got the highest quality bathroom remodeling products, plain and simple, and they're going to give you the best customer experience. You're getting modern, durable tubs and showers. They've got an exclusive high-tech polymer liner, and that means that you're going to get something that's easy to clean and that lasts for decades, and the Bath Authority stands behind it with a lifetime warranty. They do it all too, tub-to-shower conversions, walk-in tubs, and more. Every unit's custom-built. You pick the accents, you pick the safety features. The Bath Authority makes it happen, and all Bath Authority products are 100% made in the USA. Call today, 412-249-1140, and get free installation on your new shower or bath, plus 36 months of interest-free financing. TheBathAuthority.com. A better bath awaits.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.